Hello and welcome back to the MRX Lab podcast, brought to you by FlexMR, where we investigate and explore topics on the fringes of market research. I'm your host, Chris Martin, and today we're going to be talking about the forces of sacred and profane consumption. We'll be looking at how these forces influence consumer behaviour and what it means for us as researchers. But first, let's back up and set out a clear definition. In the late 1900s, before the field of marketing was swamped with more data points and metrics than we knew what to do with, there were a huge number of attempts to understand why and how consumers behaved in the way that they did. Anthropology and ethnography were the main tools through which this was achieved, and in my opinion, one of the most interesting theories to come out of this age was that of sacred and profane consumption. As one early academic paper put it, two processes at work in contemporary society are the secularization of religion and the sacralization of the secular. Consumer behavior shapes and reflects these two processes. Now, what does that actually mean? In simple terms, sacred consumption happens when we set apart objects, events, or times and treat them with more reverence and awe than the mundane. Sacred consumption generally occurs when a purchase or an experience is infrequent. The purchase of jewellery, especially wedding or engagement jewellery, is a prime example of this. But we might also treat holiday shopping, Black Friday, or even vacation time with a similar reverence. Vacation time is a particularly interesting example, where we tend to travel on sacred time. So think about how you might seek out more authentic experiences, spend more time relaxing than normal, or consider doing things you would never try at home whilst on holiday. These are all hallmarks of sacred consumption, treating something with reverence and with awe. Now, the mundane, meanwhile, refers to objects, experiences, and consumption that is considered mundane, everyday, or ordinary. Brands are much more likely to be in this camp, part of a daily or weekly ritual, rather than having dedicated time carved out in our schedule for them. Things like, you know, breakfast, commuting, grocery shopping, and to be honest, much of the retail landscape in general, all constitutes profane consumption. But there's also evidence to suggest that the typically high wall in this dichotomy is breaking down. Some of the brands have, either by active efforts or chance, ended up moving from one side to the other. These tend to be those that we might consider to have cult-like followings. So think of Nike, Apple, even Kraft mac and cheese may once have been considered mundane parts of everyday life, but now have fans who will carve out time to interact, to invest in these brands. A term that has become quite widespread to describe spaces in particular, in which brands build experiential stalls or other buildings to seek to achieve sacred status, is brand cathedral. Apple stores are a prime example, but so are brands with flagship stores like Starbucks, Disney, Lush, or even the M&M store in Leicester Square. These are all spaces designed to impress, to excite, to break brands out of their more mundane profane definitions. At this point, it's probably a fair question to ask, why does this matter to researchers? Sure, it's interesting how this now well-developed branding theory evolved from anthropology and ethnography, but is there a practical way in which we can use it to conduct research better? I'm not sure there's a clear answer to that question, but I do certainly think that an understanding of where a brand or consumption experience sits should influence how perhaps even when, research is conducted. For example, sacred brands and consumption experiences often occupy a significant amount of time in a single chunk, but less frequently. That means we've got less opportunities throughout a year or even a decade to capture relevant feedback compared to profane consumption, which happens on a much more regular basis. Similarly, some examples of sacred consumption are considered particularly personal, especially those which relate to rites of passage or the changing of identity. But more so than that, both sides of the dichotomy are steeped in ritual. An important lesson for marketers is that rituals tend to revolve around an action, not a product or brand. For researchers, I think this is also important to consider, as understanding the ritual within which a product, service, or experience that a brand may play a part in provides critical information. Take the daily morning ritual of washing, for example. Understanding how a particular group of people approach this ritual is important. Information like what actions are part of it, maybe shaving, brushing of teeth, exfoliating, tells us just as much as what actions are not a part of it. A holistic understanding of the ritual in its totality and the forces that shape it, whether it's limited time, when somebody wakes up, whether they have children to consider, should influence what behaviours we are seeking to influence as researchers, what messages to send, and even what a product or service that is going to be a part of that ritual should offer. When we start to think about the ritual around an activity and the type of consumption it reflects, I think we start to see a different approach to designing research activities and projects. No longer is it just about the product or service, but it's about the behaviours, the consumer state of mind, and how the product or service may interact with that. And we certainly have the tools to do this, from surveys and diaries that help us get to grips with what is happening, to depth interviews, focus groups, ethnographies, and creative tasks that look at the why behind the what. I hope that I've provided a brief overview on this theory of sacred and profane consumption, because personally I find it a fascinating topic. While it is abstract, the metaphors it uses to explain and simplify consumer behaviours are easy to understand, and there's a lot of depth to some of the more nuanced sociological ideals within it. So if you're interested in reading more about this marketing and branding theory, I'd highly recommend The Rise of Sacred Brand Experiences from BrandingStrategyInsider.com and Theodicy on the Odyssey in the Journal of Consumer Research. That does now bring me to the end of today's episode, so I want to thank you for tuning in to the MRX Lab podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to be notified when we publish new episodes on your favourite podcasting service, and you can check out our show notes at www.fletsamar.net. Just head over to the Resource Centre and choose Podcast from the drop-down menu. While we're out of time today, I will see you in a few weeks, where we'll be talking about slow programming and how the practice is subtly changing our perceptions of modern consumer behaviour.